Welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church. Glad to have each and every one of you here. Ready to take a look at the Word of God. What a better place to be. Well, good morning. I've been to North Carolina, had a wonderful visit with family, and my oldest son, Michael, they have a housing ministry for missionaries that are in transition, and got to see some of the missionaries and from all over the world. They're in transition. Most of them are maybe changing fields, maybe changing mission boards, maybe just need a rest, need a break. A lot of them are suffering from burnout. Missionaries give, and they don't do any much receiving. They're on the giving end, and you finally just give it to where you're gave out and just need to have a place to recoup and regroup and gather momentum. So it just was good to be down there and be with Michael and his family. And had wonderful flights and everything worked beautiful. So except my back is out, and it's been out, and I can't get any chiropractor till tomorrow, hopefully. So my back is killing me. So, but outside of that, things are wonderful. So, okay, let's open it with a word of prayer. And it's just been good to celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior, and just to go through and just a good time of remembrance. And that's the reason for the season, folks. It's the birth of Christ. Amen. And a lot of times things get out of whack. But anyway, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for a great year, Lord, that we've had in 2023. And Lord, as we look forward to 2024, I pray, Father, that, Lord, you will use this church, Lord, in the coming year, Lord, to be a lighthouse for you, a beacon, Lord, to the lost and to the saved. Lord, where we can come here and preach salvation and, Lord, reach those that are lost and, Lord, at the same time to edify Christians, to build us up, Lord, to, as we study your word, Lord, to grow spiritually. And Lord, and just pray, Lord, that we'll be available for your service in this coming year. I pray, Father, you'll use each and every one of us. Lord, you have a purpose for each and every one of us, or we wouldn't be here today. When you're done with us, you'll take us home. And Lord, just pray that while we're here, that you'll be using us, Lord, in the way that you see fit. And Lord, we will be available, Lord, and obedient to follow you and your leading. And give us a wisdom, Lord, to know the differences, what we should do, what we should not do. And so we just commit this time to you, Lord, and as we're studying here on creation, and Lord, just pray that the things that I'm teaching up here, Lord, will be edifying to the group. I pray, Lord, we'll all be growing as a result of these studies. So, Lord, just use this service, Lord, and pray that you'll be honored and glorified in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I missed last week, and so, anyway, I'm just going to, hopefully we can just get through, or we'll finish this section this morning. We're ready to move on to a very exciting theme, or whatever you want to say. We're going to be talking about kinds. And again, through the evolution and creation debate, and we're going to find that the word, God uses the word kinds, after its kind, after his kind. Its seed is within itself, after its kind. And this word kind is major. And it's a major thing, and it totally destroys any ideas about any evolution or anything evolving from one thing to another. And it's just going to be I guess we're just teaching this course to try to strengthen us and to try to believe what the Bible says and not be going off on some tangent that man sat back and dreamed up in his imaginations. And it's something that's caught on. And anyway, enough said on that. So, just a quick review, because it's been a couple weeks now, and just gonna I'll just do a quick review here and then we'll get into it. Verse 1 says that God created both the heavens and the earth. This includes the earth, the heavens, the plants, animals, and man. It includes everything. And it starts at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And so, anyway, and we've been discussing this gap theory, or all the different theories where, and this is mainly talking about Christians. What I'm teaching about Christians, they're born again Christians. They can be saved, and yet they will not accept the fact that the Bible says the earth is around a little over 6,000 years old when you add up the numbers. They will not, they believe man's thinking, which is a thought that came in right in the late 1700s. It caught on, and they're trying to add millions. They believe that the earth is billions of years old, because science has proven it. And so they say they prove, folks, they haven't proven anything. It's a theory. And we're going to, and we've been talking about it, is we're destroying all these different theories. And I really debated on whether I should even teach this, because I have been, the last couple of weeks, I have been teaching heresy. Okay, or I'm telling it to you, I want you to understand and know what they believe, and we have gone back, we are using the verses out of the Bible that they use to support their theory, and there are some verses in there that could be misunderstood and could make one, lead one to believe that it could be possible, and that it is possible. And so it is not possible, and we're going to go through, we're going to destroy. There's verses at the end of this thing this morning, hopefully I'll get to it, where God totally, I mean, he says who the first man is, you know, from the beginning and things. Anyway, we're going to, I guess I'm just rambling here. But I wanted you to understand, I mean, it is such a widely accepted theory that I really wanted, I'm teaching you what they're thinking. So you understand what they're thinking, you understand the verses that they're using, and then you could know how to defend it, And anyway, so that's what, and I debate as whether I should do it, because I always ask God, Lord, help me not to be teaching heresy. Help me to say things that are biblically true. And yet we're going through this, and we're going to use the Bible, the Word of God, not man's opinion, and we're taking verses right out of the Bible to prove what God says, and to prove that evolution or anything in millions of years is totally false. And so that's kind of the process we're going through here. But again, we were discussing what they think, what the old earth people, the billions, millions and billions of years, what they think, okay? And so, and again, as we've talked about in verse 1, it says, God created both the heavens and the earth. And that included everything. And they believe that the earth was peopled by a race of men without souls. Soulless men. Now, not, and again, I've said before, not every one of them will agree with everything I say. I'm kind of doing a, and I'm not an expert on this, folks. Not in any stretch of imagination. But I'm kind of going through, I'm giving you a line, kind of a, that they all would, follows kind of what they're thinking. And there's bits and pieces, there's different factions out there. Some believe this, you know, and different things. But you put it all in a bag, shake it up, and pull out an answer. And this is kind of what I'm giving you. But they say that the earth was peopled by a race of men without souls. They were unintelligent and ape-like. They didn't speak, they just grunted. Like the old alley-oop guy, we talked about him. And they've got all these skulls and stuff that they say are billions of years old. There's Cro-Magnon man, Piltdown man, Neanderthal man. And they show the fossils of them are 3.3 million years old. And they say they can prove it with their testing. Folks, that testing thing is so flawed, and they even know it. They struggle with their testing methods, but they don't tell anybody. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. They say it's ridiculous to believe the earth is only 6,000 years old. You people are crazy. You are absolutely crazy or nuts to believe that, because it's been proven And we're just bombarded with it day after day after day. They say that God is perfect, and in this creation would be perfect. In verse 1, okay? In verse 1, it was perfect. Plants and animals and man flourished for millions of years. Then after this, Satan, the prince of the world, sinned and rebelled against God before verse 2. And then, so obviously, from that, the Bible says, talks about Satan sinning, okay? So that means that the angels, like man, were created with a choice. You can either choose to do right or choose to do wrong. Some of them choose to do wrong, okay? Satan and all of his clan, his demons, they chose to do wrong, all right? And we looked at different verses in Ezekiel and Isaiah, you know, where they use, they can implement, especially the one in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14. We discussed that at length last time, and it's tricky, you know, and it looks like it's talking about the Satan, and they use that verse, Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, and they say they use those verses to say that Satan destroyed, there was this big battle between verse 1 and verse 2, and Satan rebelled against God, and there was a battle when God went to judge him. And anyway, in this big battle, and there's a big flood at the end of it. And the most of the thinking was Satan caused a flood to cover the entire earth. And that was kind of his final shot. And that is where we get the water that begins in verse 2. You know, and the Bible says, and you know, whatever, I can't, anyway. And the Spirit moved across the face of the waters, you know, verse 2. That's a Jim Gay version translation there. And it gets to be very deep to understand. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that. We went through it. We got to move forward. But it appears that verse 16 and 17 in Isaiah chapter 14 is referring to Satan. It's not. It is a part of a prophecy that is being leveled against the king of Babylon. And yeah, you've got to let Bible interpret Bible. But it's referring to the king of Satan who destroyed the earth and destroyed the cities and it just wreaked havoc in the earth. And he did. And so... I'm going to skip over. I'm kind of just going through my old notes here, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that because we need to move forward. And
excuse me, Jim, what were those verses you said again?
Isaiah 14, 12 through 17. Verses 12 through 15 is clearly speaking about Satan. But then it shifts, and it's talking about the earth being destroyed and this, that, and the other in 16 and 17. And beings 12 through 15 was talking about Satan. It looks, and they interpret that it meaning Satan is the one that just did all this destruction. And I struggled with this. I did not understand it at first, and I struggled for over a week, and I'm thinking, Lord, I need a biblical answer. And anyway, finally, and all the commentators, they all said it's talking that verses 16 and 17 are talking about the king of Babylon. And to get that, you've got to go back to chapter 13, verse 1, which is two chapters back, or a chapter and a half back. And it talks about that Isaiah is leveling a prophecy against the king of Babylon. And that continues on through 13 and through chapter 14. That prophecy, so he's talking about the king of Babylon all the way through it. But it's hard to get it if you just read those verses one by one. It looks, it's very deceiving. And, I don't know if I should say the word of God is deceiving. That's, okay, scratch that word. It's hard to understand. You got to let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let Scripture interpret Scripture to get it. And, you read through that, and it was confusing to me. And finally, one commentator made the fact that, because I couldn't get, how are you getting that this king of Babylon when it looks like it's talking about Satan, you know? And anyway, but you have to study it. And finally, I was thankful God gave me the right answer on that, but I struggled. Okay. And there's, I guess there were some other references, if you want to have them, Bev, I'll just give them right quick here. Ezekiel. If I get my, okay, another reference that they use, Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 17. There's others that I don't have right before me. There's some other references in Ezekiel that we covered, but you combine all these, and that's where they're getting their thinking. Okay. And so Satan fell, and they are saying, again, they are saying, the old earth believers, they're claiming that it is because of Satan's fall, Satan's sin, that sin entered the universe. Satan's sin. The Bible doesn't say that. And we're going to look at these verses. The Bible says because of Adam's sin, death entered the world, not Satan's sin. So they're attributing, but that, and that's why they say, okay, we have all this death, destruction, dying and killing, and animals eating animals, and all these fossils and stuff like that. That all happened because of Satan's sin, not man's, okay? And this brought God's judgment on the earth in the form of a flood, which provided the water of Genesis 1-2. This flood is called Lucifer's flood or Satan's flood is what it's called. Yes, sir?
Would they be saying that Satan created water? Where did the water come from if Satan
Yeah. Okay, I don't know, but again, verse 1, they believe that God created everything that's on earth today. He created it back then. So God would have created the water, would be, and again, I'm not an authority on this, but that would be my take, because they're thinking that God, originally in verse 1, created the heaven and the earth just like it is today, the way it stands today. And then it got destroyed, and then God had to come back and redo it all over again, beginning in verse 2. So it's called Satan or Lucifer's flood. Then God cast him out among with many other wicked angels to the earth. The battle was so fierce that everything on the earth was destroyed. All plant and animal life died, and finally leaving it without form and void, and with darkness on the face of the deep. Okay? And so now, I mean, that's how it was left. And so now God comes along in verse 2 and starts all over again and redoes it all over again. All right? This gap of time between Genesis 1-1 and Genesis 1-2 is millions of years. Billions of years. Okay? They say in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void, meaning destroyed, included anything destroyed of any living life was destroyed. Okay? Some change the definition of the word was without form and void, like it says in verse 2, it was without form and void. They've changed the wording to say it became without form and void. Okay? In other words, it was different before and then it became. Two different, very subtle little translations, but it's in some Bibles, okay? The battle was so fierce that everything on earth became waste and desolate. It was perfect in the first place. In verse 1, they say it was perfect in verse 1. You know, like God said, it was perfect, okay? So something major had to take place to turn a perfect world into something that was waste and desolate, without form and void. Then after this millions of years of time, God came back and decided to rebuild or reconstruct his creation. This is also known as the Reconstruction Theory. And folks, a lot of what I'm saying here, I took it right out of the footnotes of my Bible. Okay? C.I. Schofield, he wrote this stuff down. And C.I. Schofield, and this my Bible, the version here is copyrighted 1909. And he was actually the Chuck Swindoll, the David Jeremiah's, MacArthur's of the day. And he had a great influence, a great following. And a lot of the notes I'm taking right out of my footnotes. I mean verbatim. Okay. This is also known as a Reconstruction Theory. And he was a Reconstruction Theorist, you know. And so, but it all fits, all these other different theories kind of follow into the same pattern. Then it was all destroyed, everything. So then in verse 2, then, God recreated or reconstructed the earth in the 6 literal days of creation. So they're saying, okay, biblically, and see, they're wanting to follow the Bible. We're talking about Christians that believe in an old earth. They want to follow the Bible. So they say then God recreated or reconstructed the earth in the 6 literal days of creation, beginning with Genesis 1:3 and following. Here's a key thing. They say not all of creation was destroyed in this battle. Only things on the earth, okay? The heavens, the stuff out there, the stars, the planets, everything else outside of earth was unaffected. The sun kept right on shining. The moon kept shining. I mean, everything kept going on. But now I'm getting ahead. Let me just follow my notes. I'll better doing that than I am trying to stand on my own 2 feet and talk. Okay. Not all creation was the only things on the earth. There was no, in fact, out of my footnotes of my Bible, okay, in when the Bible says, and on the second day, God created the heaven, and I mean the sun, moon, and stars, okay, they're saying, no, there was no new creative act on the second day. The firmament and the firmament on the second day, and on the fourth day, the sun, moon, and the stars. Okay, verse 2 says God created the firmament, which was the heavens, okay? But he didn't create the sun, moon, and stars till verse 4, or day 4. And so they say that there was no new creative thing there. Verse 2, or day 2 and day 4, in Genesis chapter, 1 going on, that there was not another creation of that, okay? Because that had already been created back in verse 1, and all that stuff was continued to shine and do its thing during this battle all these billions of years, okay? So, they say that there was no creative act on the second day or the fourth day, because they had already been created in verse 1. So God had already made the heaven, the firmament, the sun, moon, stars. He'd done that in verse 1, and so it continued to exist and continued to shine and be there. The sun, moon, and stars were unaffected and had continued to shine, but the light from them had been blocked from the earth by the smoke, dust, or whatever as a result of this battle. This battle was so fierce that, I mean, there was some kind of a fog or something, and this fog or the everything else, it blocked out the light from the sun, moon, and the stars. The lights from the heavens were unaffected, but they were just made to reappear again on the fourth day. So, in other words, the smoke cleared, as you might say. It cleared off to where it would shine through again on day 4. As the smoke and the dust and from all the battle of whatever. Whatever was blocking the light was removed on the fourth day. And so that's why they say it was made to reappear. It wasn't created that day. It was just made to reappear on the fourth day. In other words, the sun was able to shine on the earth again because that cloud was removed. All the plant, animal, and human fossils date from this Lucifer's flood. Okay, so all of our fossils and stuff like that, they say came from this battle and this flood. And they say that, of course, we'll talk about how fossils are formed. Anyway, all the fossils come, you know, all this stuff that died billions of years in the past, that's created the fossils we have today. This gives time for all of the geologic ages and formations to lay down over the millions of years. This gave time for all of our coal and our oil deposits underground to form. So it's had billions of years to form, you know, and it's all these plants, animals, stuff decaying, being buried, and under heat and pressure over billions of years, we have oil and coal in these deposits. That's where it came from. Took billions of years for it to happen, okay? From plants and animals decaying under great heat and pressure over millions of years. And I've often asked the question in my own mind, couldn't God have just made oil just like he did water? He put our aquifer down there. When he created earth, couldn't he just, you know? But anyway, they say, no, it had to happen this other way. This is where the fossils of dinosaurs and prehistoric animals came from. That's what they say, okay? Now, there was a flood, and we know about the flood, and it was a flood that created all these fossils and stuff like that. We're talking about two different floods, folks. And anyway, but there are fossils of dinosaurs and men's footprints in the same fossil, okay? And that's been hard for them to explain because they say that dinosaurs died way before man did. This is why we have fossils of dinosaurs and man's footprints in the same fossil. However, evolutionists say that dinosaurs died 65 million years ago, but the oldest human fossils, they say, are only 3.3 million years old. So how do you explain that one? You know, man and the dinosaurs and man had to be existing at the same time for the footprints to be in the same fossil. And yet there are those fossils that show that. You know, well, we know that the man and dinosaurs did live at the same time. They were both on the ark. So they did at the same time. Rocks and bones of man are tested showing millions of years old. So they take their tests and they test the you know, just the different rocks and the bones and stuff like that, and they come up with millions of years. However, their methods of dating have changed many times. Their dating methods are very, very bizarre. They're all over the place. I'm getting ahead of myself. They have to use one method on certain things and another method on other things to get the results come out that they want. They have different testing methods. There's times that they have to use one method for bones, okay, of the same stuff here, but one method for the bones and another method for the skin and the flesh, the fossilized skin and flesh, to balance out. You can't use the same method on both the bone and the skin of that animal to make their test come out, to prove it. Okay? They have to use one method on skin and flesh and another method on bones to get it to come out. The consistency is horrible with their testings, okay? This causes great confusion and consternation for them. And again, I say a lot of this is taken from my C.I. Schofield footnotes. And again, people, I have said over and over and over again, don't trust your footnotes. That is one man's opinion, okay? And we don't want man's opinion, we want God's opinion, all right? We got too much of man's opinion going on today. Okay, is there anywhere, as we read the scriptures, Genesis 1 and 2, is there anywhere that God tells us that's the way it happened as we study his word? Is there anywhere God says anything about millions of years before? You know, somebody give me a verse, do it, because, you know, folks, it does not exist. God did not tell us it happened that way. I believe that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, is simply a blanket statement And then the following verses flesh it out. It just, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit moved across the face of the waters. And then in verse 3, they follow right in direct sequence, and then God goes on to tell us how he did it. You know, he's just talking, that's my opinion on it, and that's what the Bible says. The Bible does not indicate anywhere that there is any gap of time between verses 1 and 2 and 3. There's not. The same is true with the creation of, another example of that is the same is true in creating Adam and Eve, or making Adam and Eve, which is mentioned in, okay, he mentions Adam and Eve in chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, but then he just mentions the two of them, but Eve hadn't even been, they haven't been made yet. I say made because to create something means you make something out of nothing, okay? Both Adam and Eve were made out of something, okay? What was Adam made out of?
Dust.
What was Eve made out of?
Bone
from Adam, okay? There was something there. And so to be technical, and I never did know that and understand that until I went to the Creation Museum. And they have a plaque up there, and they say something about, that God, I guess if you want to really be technical, God did not create Adam and Eve because he didn't create them out of nothing. So, that's probably a very, very minor point, but anyway, to make a distinction here. But anyway, it talks about Adam and Eve in verse 26 and 28, but then if he fleshes it out in chapter 2, which is the next chapter, then he goes on to tell about how he did it. He just makes a statement, okay, and it mentions Adam and Eve in verses 1, 26 through 28, but then in verse 2, in verse 7, talks about he made Adam out of dust, and in chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, the Eve being made out of Adam's rib. So there, anybody that believes in the old earth, their thinking must be influenced by outside thinking. You are not going to get it anywhere in the Word of God that that's the way things happened. Okay? This is a compromise. Bridging what the Bible says and what evolutionists say, trying to come up with millions of years about an old earth. And I say evolutionists and also Christians that believe in an old earth. They gotta come up with all this time somewhere. And they're trying to fit it in. They're trying to, they're the level best to get millions of years out of it because they believe that the earth is billions of years old. So, and that's the way they do it. And this is, again, it's why some Bibles say a first day instead of the first day when you're talking about the days of creation, in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. Does God in the Bible tell us who the first man and the woman were? Question, they're talking about these men that lived, Neanderthal man, these ape-like creatures, they just grunted, they couldn't talk, they didn't speak, they're just ape-like creatures, cavemen living in caves, all this other type of thing. Now, of course, Bible talks about people living in caves, Does God in the Bible tell us who the first man and the first woman were? Yes, he does, okay? And we're going to start nailing this stuff down now. And man, that clock is going too fast. Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to try to nail it down now biblically. Here are verses we can go to and point to and say what you are saying is wrong. See, I got to turn back a page here. Okay, Genesis 1, 26 through 27. I need the time. I'm going to go ahead and read these verses. And Genesis 1, 26 through 27, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and all over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Okay? Now, and again, it's talk, you know, there's been no reference to any men being created before this. You know, nothing about that. And he, so he's introducing it here in these verses. Turn to Genesis 2:5. Well, just go to the end of 2:5. It says, okay, God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. There was not a man yet in verse 5, Genesis 2:5. No man, okay? That eliminates there was no people before Adam, is what the Bible's telling us. Genesis 2:20, and I'm going through these hurriedly, but it's, okay, the point I'm trying to make here is that God is never given any reference to anybody. He's saying Adam and Eve are the first people, period. And by the way, God, and from the get-go, Adam, God created man with intelligence, because Adam, he was able to speak with God. They talked. Adam was able to name all of the animals, okay? Man was intelligent. God, there's never been a man on this planet that was not intelligent. There's none of this ape-like stuff, the grunting stuff, smacking the gal over the head with your club and dragging her to your cave. You know, none of this stuff, okay? From God's perspective, there's none of it. Verse 2:20. Okay, I flipped my page too quick. And Adam called his wife name Eve because she was a mother of all living. Okay, Eve is the mother of all mankind. Nothing about people before that. She's the mother of all living human beings. It started with her. She was the first, is what God's saying here. Oh, 2:20. Okay, I skipped. I got a wrong reference here. Okay, I got down here that, okay, there's a verse, I got, mine is wrong, but it says that there was no help meet for Adam before that. There was no woman. I don't, what verse is that? I got it wrong.
2:20.
Okay.
2:20, so Adam gave names to all cattle.
Okay. My notes are right. I just can't read my own notes, folks. Yeah, 3:20. Yeah, so 3:20 says.
But when you mention her name, that's in 3:20 because that's when Adam first named her.
Okay. All right. In other words, in Genesis 3:20 says Eve is the mother of all living humans. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry about the mix-up here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:45. Okay, I did not update my, I've been on vacation, and I always have markers in my Bible where I, so I can flip right to it. I didn't change my markers. All the markers in my Bible are from last 2 weeks ago. Anyway, in verse 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says the first man, Adam. I'm just going to try to see if that gets me there. I didn't mark these down. Okay, 1545. Okay. Okay, and I'm just going to read this verse here. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. the last Adam is made a quickening spirit. It's talking about Adam and Christ, you know. But anyway, it says right here, the first man, Adam. Can he make it any plainer than that, that God's saying Adam was the first man? There was no men before Adam. Matthew 19:45. I'm just going to have to turn there. I don't have Mark, so I'll tell you what. For the sake of time, which we need, would somebody look up Matthew 19:4-5? Who would do that? John? Who would look up Mark 10:6? Okay, back here. All right. 10:6. And I guess that's all we have for right here. So who would you read loud and clear to us Matthew 19:4-5? Okay, so here, now this is Jesus speaking. This is the Creator is speaking here. He says, at the beginning, he made them male and female. Okay, well, the evolutionists say that the earth existed, you know, billions of years, that man came along later. The fossils show that man came along much, you know, billions of years later. Okay, but God says, at the very beginning, I made them male and female in the first 6 days. Okay, there is no, this is Jesus speaking now, there's no big time frame, but you know, billions of years between the time the earth was created and that man was made. Okay, Mark 10:6, who's got that one? Okay, back here.
From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
Okay, from the beginning of creation, male and female. God says there was no gap. There's no time period between the time that the earth was created and man was formed. And yeah, and the fossils, I mean, the evolutionists and everybody, the fossil record shows that there's things billions of years older than the fossils of man. You know, not true, folks, not true. The above two verses show that Jesus was a young earth creationist. I like that. That was in one of the things I studied in there, but Jesus was a young earth creator. He believed in a young earth. Great Jesus, you know. If Jesus believes in it, I think we'd ought to believe in it too. All right? Then how can his faithful followers have any other view? Folks, are we going to believe God or man? We got to make that decision, and it's just a clear distinction line between it all. God made Adam and Eve. He made them with intelligence. At no time was man unintelligent or Anti-Oop-like. Man had the ability to communicate. Adam named all the animals, Genesis 2:19. He had the intelligence to do that. Man was never dumb and unintelligent, okay? Is there anywhere where God tells us he created people before Adam and Eve? The answer is no. Is there anywhere in the Bible God tells us that the earth is millions of years old? No. We've seen that when the old earth people say that death began, it began between verse 1, and it went on between verses 1 and 2. They say that's when death began, okay? Before Adam was made, okay? Wrong. When does God tell us in the Bible that death began? And folks, this is key. Time's up? Okay. Well, starting next Sunday, we're going to go through when God tells us death began. It did not begin billions and billions of years before Adam and Eve. Did not happen. But we are 2 minutes overdue right now. Charlotte, I'll bet you're wanting us to say, we're the choir members are supposed to meet back over here. We're going to sing a song this morning. So anybody from choir, don't visit, don't chat, don't get coffee. Head straight over there. Okay. Let's close the word of prayer. Our time is up. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, as we look at this and we want to biblically prove, Lord, from your Bible, from your word, that these things are untrue, and to give us ammunition, Lord, to know how to refute these people. And we're going to run into Christians that believe in billions of years. And just to help us, Lord, to know the truth, and Lord, to be able to prove from the Bible, Lord, that these things are untrue. And help us in our thinking, Lord, to understand and give us more of a reliance on your word, Lord, to be able to trust it. A lot of people don't trust some of the verses in the Bible. And they're saying, and if you can't trust some here, they may not have to trust some in other places. And they'll say, God didn't mean it that way. Here's what he meant. No, God said he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And help us, Lord, to understand that. I just pray now that you'll be with pastors. He brings a morning message to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us to start off the new year, Lord, and Lord, with a new desire, a stronger commitment, Lord, just to have a closer walk with you. And just work, speak through pastor to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.